1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
All right, Waddle, take a guess here.
Let's go around
the room.
Let's go. Come on. Guessing game.
I wrote this down, and we never got to it. I don't believe I gave out the stat on Friday. Javi Baez, I believe it was Thursday, one of those games midweek last week, walked for the first time in this many plate appearances. How many plate appearances did it take for Javi Baez to draw a walk? Waddle told you he's got the one walk, 15 strikeouts this year.
Well, so it happened this year, so I'm going to say 25 plate appearances.
I think it goes back to last year, though.
Come on, really?
Yeah. I think the this is extended through.
Yeah, you wouldn't be asking this question.
I thought we were starting just from the start of this year.
No, we're going back. This wouldn't be a trivia. This wouldn't be a diginosy if Javi Baez in the first nine games.
I'm going to go with 87 appearances. Jim.
Okay. 87. Well, that's a lot. 87 plate appearances. His first walk in 87. Abdallah, you want to take a crack at this?
108.
108. That's even more than 80 something.
We don't call him the station mathematician for no reason.
129, Bob.
What? Wow, Black, 129.
Is that higher than Abdallah?
Yeah, that's the highest of the three picks, by the way, by a lot. By the way, Abdallah nearly nailed it. Nearly nailed it. It was Javi Baez's first walk in 110 plate appearances.
That's incredible. That's crazy.
Yeah, I got that from Twitch.
Did you?
Oh, someone knew.
Well, you can't cheat like that.
Yes, I can.
You can, but you should advertise that you stole it from somebody.
I gave credit where credit was due. It's not like I was
at the end.
Look at me. Look at me. Look what I did.
I'm going to go get one of those Kraft singles and throw it on your face at the next break.
Put it next to a mic because it makes a little flop noise. When you do it?
Like when Sylvie was clapping and people in the Twitch chat wanted to know what he was doing.
Yeah.
When I was what?
Don't worry, I'll bring it back.
When was I clapping?
That doesn't sound right. Oh, God, both of you, man. Like, your sound effects need to go away. Ouch.
The taste, is it different in person, Sylvie?
It's disgusting. It turns me off, and now seeing you do it is not as disgusting.
You
got
to get real close to the mic.
Yeah,
and then now I could see Bo who do. I mean, it's nice to see you guys. I'm seeing Waddle on Twitch, on the twitch.tv/ESPN1000 app. But
that's almost criminal that it's 100 and what was it, 108?
110.
110 plate appearances that you can't get a walk in 110 plate. Because you know the scouting report on you is they're going to throw everything out low and away.
He never walks, though. He never walks.
Well, that's not an acceptable answer.
But when a guy you know isn't going to draw walks, it's not surprising when he doesn't draw walks.
Well, draw a few walks if you want 200 million. Like, he's the easiest guy in the world to game plan for. Now, don't get me wrong. He's going to find one. Somebody's going to make a mistake, and he's going to make you pay for
it. What percentage of that 200 million is going for his defense?
Too much.
Well, yeah. Yes. Too much. Yes.
I'm paying you for offensive production more than I'm paying you for your defense.
But you're also paying for his gold glove level. He's one of the top defensive shortstops in the game.
Here's my question to you. You just brought up that money, Abdallah. I asked Waddle in the break. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Let's say, Abdallah, that you could get Chris Bryant, who once wanted $300 million. You can get him now for $180 million. Let's say Javi Baez, who once wanted $200 million, you can get for $120 million. And let's say Rizzo, who once wanted $125, you can get at $95 million. Would you bring all three back?
What is that for a yearly basis?
I just threw out numbers.
I know. Come on.
Well, it depends. Does that mean that they can spend elsewhere, or does that mean that that's it? Because if that's going to be it, then no. I'm starting to believe that 2016 and 2017, those years were the peak years for this team. And
that's what the stats show.
Yeah. And every time I've asked that, it's been panned and no, they're look at the back of the baseball card. Look at the back of the baseball card. Chris Bryant's an all-star. Chris Bryant's an MVP caliber player. His numbers are the same. Well, everyone else around him gets better, but the rest of the team seems to get worse. And it seems like 2016 and 2017 were the peak years, and it's just been downhill from there. So at this point, you might as well, like you said, Sylvie, in the last segment, just it's time to just end this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even if you could get them on the sales rack, would you even want to buy what you once thought was...
Well, they're on the sales rack because no one wanted them. Isn't that why things go on
sale? Well, let me ask you, right. I mean, if you get to the trade deadline and you're not getting much back, like... I don't want to pay Javi Baez $25 million a year, but if I can get him at my price, he's still going to hit you 28, 30 home runs.
But at the end of the day, if you're losing 15-3 to the Pirates and your team can score, should your core be those three guys? Do you know what I mean? Like, isn't it just time to shake it up and to get a new supply of whatever?
Well, look, I mean, that's an option. If you're willing to get rid of him and bring in Corey Seager... Or Correa, or somebody else who has a nice, appealing history, then I'm with you. Like, but they don't have anything in their farm system that you can remove these guys and put these guys in, and now we're just going to live with the growing pains.
You would have to think that they said, we were wanting to pay Javi Baez whatever. Let's say they wanted to pay Javi at one time $150 million for a big deal for many years. And they were going to do that a year ago before COVID. Remember, they were down?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they just say to themselves, now we're better off just taking that money and just going out and getting Story or Seager or Correa. Let's just, instead of it being Javi, and it doesn't have to be a young guy, but we'll continue to sell and we'll hopefully develop the farm system while paying new free agents instead of our own now, because our own on this team in this ballpark for that manager, they just don't produce.
Those guys are going to cost you more. You just have to be, you're going to have to accept that. Correa, Seager there cost you more than Javi. The reason you would sign Javi is because he plays one of eight field positions, and if you get him at your price, that's when you find other guys to sprinkle in other areas.
Right. You're getting him on sale. You're getting him for 30% of what you thought you were going to be paying for him.
Correct.
And you're like, wow, if I could get him here, now's the time to buy. Buy low.
Well, listen,
but if buying low doesn't net you anything.
Again, what's it going to net you? What is your expectation level for him?
My expectation level is for them to go to Pittsburgh and get some hits. And not watch every game like it's some sort of a taffy pull. And like we're watching.
It's a pillow fight. Welcome to Pittsburgh, home of the pillow fight.
It's amazing. Like, and I get it. Neither guy pitched well Saturday or Sunday. After the first time through, Davies was good. Williams was good. Both of them really came back to earth. But do you know what? That team's got no fight. That team's got no way to battle back. And they should be able to battle back. Even down 5-1 on a warm day in Pittsburgh, you should be able to battle back and score some runs. And all they do is swing and miss.
Right, but like I'm looking at like Javi, and again, I'm not an advocate of giving Javi whatever he wants. But the three-game set in Pittsburgh, Javi was 5-for-13 with 2 home runs and 3 driven in. Like, you could live
with
that.
Not a bad series for Javi.
Right, and that's what you should get from Javi against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right, but that's what I'm confused about. Okay, so Javi goes 5-for-13. Chris Bryan, I think, had a decent series. The end of the day, what does the box score say? Why doesn't the math work out?
Yeah, that I don't know, and it hasn't worked out for quite some time.
Randy in Seattle, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Randy?
Good afternoon, boys.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you guys. A little bit of Twitch viewing here while I'm in the office. Should be working. But I wanted to watch you come back today, Sylvie.
Thank you, Randy. I'm looking at you right now.
What's up? I'm looking at you, brother.
So, you guys want to get a room? I can go out. I got to take a pee anyway. You guys want to be left alone for a while?
You misjudged your pee time?
I did. Like, I've been doing that a lot. But I've been drinking a lot of water because I got the second shot yesterday. Anyway, back to you, Randy.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. It's early. I'm not going to jump on or off a bandwagon or on or off a building. The Cubs as a whole have been for years one of the most undisciplined hitting teams in baseball. And Javi has got some great baseball instincts, and he would be okay on the Cubs if the rest of the team were more disciplined. You could absorb his lack of plate discipline, but they're not. They're horribly undisciplined play. They, as a team, they just can't wait out pitches. And even Bryant, the next time Chris Bryant watches a low and outside pitch and doesn't swing at it is going to be the first time.
Here's something to echo your point, Randy. I believe both the Cubs and Sox have 9 games, right? And they both played 9 games. The Cubs have 31 walks. The White Sox have 50. That's who the Cubs used to be. They used to make pitchers work and labor, and then they get them when they were down. And the pitcher would get to a 3-ball count and then have to meatball you a fastball, and that's when guys would eat.
They would work the pitch counts up and everything and do a team game. Yes.
So to the question of whether or not these guys get signed or not, even on a bargain basement price, Sylvie, I don't care. And here's what I mean by I don't care. They're going to have a season to determine whether they get signed or don't get signed. They can play themselves into a contract individually or out of a contract. I don't care. If they play well, come on back. If you don't play well, adios, buddy.
Yeah.
Their season.
Randy, I get it. That's how maybe I do sound a little angry today. I'm past the point of getting really that angry like I did in 18-19. About the Cubs.
What's so frustrating because of the point that you constantly you bring up is that, like, look, the back of the baseball card tells one story, and their inability to hit in crunch time and string things together tells another story. It's one of the more confusing things, I think, in baseball, you know, is that you can look at these guys and individually you can be somewhat impressed by them. Collectively, in crunch time, like, you get nothing.
You guys have been having a fantastic baseball conversation here the last 10 minutes. You want to hear what I've been working on the other side of the glass the last 10 minutes?
What have you been working on? You've been laughing, too, and I didn't know about what I was missing.
Well, Sylvie, you said something at the end of, like, 15 minutes ago of the last hour, and I thought people would want to hear this.
Okay.
Bring it back. You were confused of what we were laughing at?
That you need to say, we're done.
So that's what was said.
Oh, I was like... Brushing. I know that does sound creepy. That sounds.
Yeah, but I've got a whole loop here. A
whole lube?
Oh, that loop. It sounds
you
like my
lube?
Cubby
I thought
Chubby.
You said lube.
No, this is like 35 seconds of Sylvie.
Well, it sounds like you know what you're doing. You're making meatballs, is what you're doing. You're packing them together.
I think they were thinking of making something else. We can make sounds like a beat track right here, too.
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I was laughing at.
Anyway, literally. Literally, it's what it sounds
try.
Like.
But
you can try.
Sorry, good try.
You're gonna need an ice pack when you're done with this, Mister.
Can I get a little? Can you add a little music to this?
Make it mood
Somebody's
music.
Really giving it to the
hey
Cubs.
Girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl. Hey girl. Hey girl.
Sorry, good try.
You need soft music. Take a little bit of the edge of what's happening right there.
See, like, you guys are having baseball. You're chopping up some baseball speaks and talks.
You're going to need an ice pack.
I've got 35 seconds of this on loop.
Now make your just a taste sound. Come on, you can do it.
Oh, so gross.
I'm going home at the next break.
3-3-2. Hey, I finally get back. Now waddle in.
Whack that thing.
Yeah.
3-3-2-3.
Whack that thing.
7-7-6.
Whack that thing.
I don't think, see, then that is, I can't.
You give new meaning to beating yourself up.
Give us a professional tease now. Come on.
Listen,
Come on, Radio Man.
Do a greedy tease. Bubba, Hippo.
You know? Come on, Bubba. Give us a tease.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Yesterday was a fun Sox game to watch. It was, and you
until
know,
until it got late.
Well, I mean, the Eaton home run was late, and you're like, this is exactly the type of magical moment you always remember when you play back that video, the end of a glorious year. Oh, remember that win in mid-April against the Royals where Adam Eaton pinch hit, and he wrapped it around the foul pole for the two-run homer. You know, but then...
And your bullpen gave up a run in the 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Right. And then Hendricks gave it back. And, you know, Carmen wasn't that upset. We were texting on the text chain. He's like, it was a pretty good pitch he hit for a home run. But then you lose in extras. They got off to a slower start last year, too. And the expectations weren't as high. But remember, this is still a team that doesn't have Aloy. Then no. Tim Anderson, who's sort of their engine, goes down.
Kind of their spark plug.
But, I mean, if I told you that Kopech would be marvelous.
Oh, he's fantastic.
So he would answer the bell in the first.
For the most part, the starting pitching's been good.
Yeah.
It's been real good.
Rodon.
I thought Cease was better yesterday.
It's Rodon tonight, right?
I think so, yes.
So Rodon surprised me the first time.
Yeah.
I was not expecting anything.
Had a high strikeout total, I believe. No, he was very good in his first start.
Like what he was throwing that baseball at, and then the numbers at the end of the day from the fifth guy in the rotation. Now I don't know. We'll see how he is the second time through.
Listen, I think this is who the Cubs are more than I think this is who the Sox are. Like the Sox are going to hit. They've been atrocious with runners in scoring position, with guys on base. They've been awful. I don't expect that to last. Their bullpen has not delivered the way that they are expected to deliver. I think they'll find their stride collectively. But you know, I mean, like, I think we both believe that a bullpen is the most unpredictable part of every team. One year you can be brilliant, the next year it goes sideways. And I can point to any number of guys who have given you a brilliant 2019 and struggled in 2020, and they come back in 2021 and they're good again. It's just a really unpredictable part of any baseball team. But I do believe that bullpen will collectively deliver over the course of an entire season. There's too much talent.
That's always been Waddle's baseball 101.
Yeah.
Is that bullpen thing. The paying $5 million for relievers. Because you may get that $5 million season the previous year, but like Bobby Howry, remember back in the day?
Yeah.
I think he was always a poster child, I think, for your statement. Bummer this year, I mean, has it been on Bummer for... Like, he walked a guy, I think, to start the inning yesterday. That was earlier in the game, and that guy, then I think he stole second, and then he comes around and he scores. And remember, like, Bummer at one point a year or two ago.
He was unhittable.
He was unhittable.
Yeah.
You know, and there's been a couple of areas like that where they've struggled. The defense, they've got to clean up. There are things they've got to clean up. But with the Cubs, it's just...
They've got to be the easiest team, literally. You wouldn't say this because of the firepower that they possess, allegedly. They've got to be the easiest team in the world to game plan for from a pitcher's perspective. We're going to throw you high fastballs, and for a lot of the guys, we're going to throw you junk low and away. And we don't trust that you're going to show enough discipline, so we're just going to keep throwing it to you.
Now they've made that adjustment where Contreras was saying that they're waiting for fastballs and they're not getting fastballs anymore.
Why would you throw these guys a fastball anywhere near the strike zone when you know that, like Sylvie and I were talking at the break, the launch angle thing, I got it. You can't launch a ball, a 98-mile-an-hour fastball thrown at the top of the zone. Mm-hmm. You just can't do
it. They're not adjusting to the adjustment.
That's right. Exactly correct. And when they know that... However many years in, Javi is going to have an undisciplined approach and swing at any of the junk you throw him low and away. Why would you ever throw him anything but? Now, there will be moments when pitchers make a mistake. You can't be perfect. And he's going to make you pay for it. But if I was approaching this Cubs team, I mean, executing the plan is one thing, but putting the plan together, that's an easy game plan. Like when you have a coaches meeting and you have a team meeting prior to facing the Cubs, it should last 5 minutes. High fastballs, low and away with the junk.
Woodruff did the same thing at the end of last year that he did in his first go-round against the Cubs. Darren tweets and he says, Zobrist, Miggy, Fowler. Professional situational hitters dispersed through the lineups. This roster does not work. They're the same, almost the same guy up and down. They all get the same... They get out almost the same way, and now you can game plan for one, and that's basically game planning for all.
I agree with you. Like, getting rid of Fowler or not re-signing him, I don't think was a bad decision. You just have to replace him with someone, because Fowler really hasn't been the same guy the last several years since he left the Cubs.
And look how vital Zobrist was. I mean, Zobrist was a World Series MVP. Zobrist was different than
them. He's a table setter.
Hayward was supposed to be different, but he's never... he never had that St. Louis season that he had, and the reason why he got paid. And now you just got a bunch of guys who they're all these GMs too. Like I said to Waddle during the break, this is why we've argued on this show a lot about it. I'm not saying you're going to have eight Nick Madrigals or any Nick Madrigals. I'm just saying why contact may work. Now all of a sudden you have 30 like-minded general managers who all see the game the right way. It all worked when Billy Beane and Theo Epstein were zagging when the rest of the league zigged because they all had the professional scouts who trusted their eyes, and then they went to math. Now you've got 30 guys who think the same way. What's going to be the next development to go away from every like-minded general manager? They all have this. You still think you have the secret sauce when 29 other teams have the same exact recipe.
Yeah.
No, and they have better players.
Listen, Madrigal to me isn't a liability. You just got to clean up your base running and your defense if you're not going to provide this type of power. Like, I think you're right. I think the Cubs could use a guy that's going to get on base 37, 38% of the time. And a guy that is not trying to hit the ball out of the park, but trying to get on base and hit the ball in different spots. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I think the reason why we've had fun at his expense is, like, he hasn't done the things well that he's supposed to do well.
Let's go to Mike in Tinley. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hi, guys. Sylvie, welcome back, man.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm very happy for you. I'm with you guys. This is 3 years of this stuff going on. I have always said what you need in Wrigley is contact double hitters, because those guys, when the wind's blowing out, those turn into homers. When it's blowing in, you still got singles and doubles. I mean, you look every game. I'm so sick of seeing guys, like you said, swing at the high fastball and then whiff on the slider 3 feet off the plate. This stuff doesn't work at all. I like you said, the guy that just brought up Zolbe, and those are the guys you got to have for Wrigley Field.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. And it's maybe just better reconstructing a team.
Could be.
But you wonder what they're going to get for some of these guys. And it's just been already such a weird season. How do we feel about this, too, guys? I was thinking about this. The Cubs getting hit and all the belly aching they're doing. They keep getting hit. Contreras got hit a couple more times.
Best way for them to get on base these days.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, they got mad. So I think it was Borzello got thrown out yesterday. Because, they're complaining. That's what I'm saying, that exactly what you just uttered. They should maybe welcome it, yes, because that's how they're getting on base, but they're so sick of getting hit.
Well, I mean, Contreras has got a different beef, in my opinion. He got hit in the head the other day. Like, if that ball didn't hit the bill of his helmet, he could have been really hurt. He could have been hurt really bad.
And the one against Pittsburgh was his third, I think, the season. He led the league in hit-by-pitch last year, too.
Listen, like, his elbow's pretty close to the plate. Rizzo's on top of the plate. I think Bryant looks like he's fairly close to the plate these days as well. Like, with the ball that hits you in the elbow, I get it. But the one that hit Contreras in the head, that one was scary.
They do a lot of crying. I love them. I love them.
Do
but
you?
I like them. I like them.
Right. Okay.
I'm in like with them is the best way to put it.
I don't think you love them.
I'll never abandon them, but I'm in like with them. I mean, it's like, they're nice.
Why would you say this?
They're the nice friend.
Don't stay together for the kids, because that never works.
I'm not asking for a divorce.
Really?
I never will.
Are you?
Dude, if I didn't ask for a divorce in the mid-2000s, and then after, through the rebuild in the 70s.
Maybe you should have.
I came up through the 70s when they stunk. Totally came up that way.
Okay, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have been asking for a divorce at that point.
No, you want to divorce your team.
Don't be the Randy. I always accused Merkin. He used to revel in the fact that he was the lovable loser. Look at us. We have never won. We're cute. We're fun. Come to Wrigley.
No, I rage against that.
Well, of course you should. You should rage against that.
But I'm never divorcing them.
By divorce them, I mean, I think that you don't cling to this group any longer.
Oh, the group. I mean, I'm
not telling you to be a Reds fan. We'll welcome you if you want, but
I'm married to the laundry, like Seinfeld used to say. I'm married to whoever's wearing that uniform. I like the guys.
It sounds like, though, that you need to divorce yourself from this particular team.
Yeah, and I think I've done that. I haven't gotten too mad over this season. Not going to rage about anything that happens this season, because the writing's been on the wall. 332-3776. I wanted to get to Mike at some point. Mike, if we don't get to here...
We can take Mike coming out of Waddle's World.
Because he is on Meatball Island with me. I'm not alone on Meatball Island. And Waddle's World, all the fun there. You can watch us on Twitch. I'm back in the studio with Waddle. It's the first Midwest Bank studio.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
All right, let's do this. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. As promised, before we get to the sports-a-roo and then the nonsense, Mike is in Evanston and he wants to join your meatball club.
Lay it out for us, Mike.
I think I can convince you on this, Waddle. Are you
no
ready?
No chance.
Okay. Let's say that Matt Damon decides, I have had a movie or two that have been successful, but I want to be considered to be better than Sylvester Stallone. I want to be considered to be the greatest action hero ever. I want to be the GOAT. So what does Damon do? Does he play a boxer? Does he go in the jungle and try to recompense for the Vietnam War? No.
They drew first blood, Mike.
He asked someone to get the rights to Rambo, and he says, I'm going to play Rambo 7, and then I'm going to go be Rocky 9. People would laugh him out of the stadium. This is silly that he's doing this. Okay, he has the Jordan number. He was a kid. That makes sense. What's he going to do next, though? Is he going to shave his head and start playing golf all the time? It's a joke.
Well, he's losing his hair. I think if he decides that he doesn't want to try to, you know, get it back, I mean, he'll get the bald thing down pretty quick.
It's not a meatball take. It's just dumb.
It is. I like you, Mike. Not, you're even raging against your inner meatball.
It's meatball with sauce.
It is kind of meatball, Mike. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, but I think we are kind of meatball.
By the way, Mike, I'm told from Adam Abdallah and Chris Black that the premise of this Space Jam is different than the premise of the other Space Jam.
Oh, you know why, Tom?
But wait a second. So, like, Matt Damon isn't going into the jungle and telling anyone that they drew first blood.
Right. What Matt Damon's going to do is he's going to open up for the Rambo. He's going to open up a sushi restaurant and have to defend it. And then in the Rocky, what he's going to do in the Rocky is he's going to be boxing, but it's going to be for, you know, charity. And he's also going to box outside in Central Park. So it's all garbage. A lot of my friends have made a great point. They say that LeBron is really Leb team jumper. He goes from team to team. He's been chasing the rings. This doesn't mean he's not a great player. Doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer. But this is another kind of nail in the coffin of his legacy. Matt Damon is Matt Damon. He's never going to be Sylvester Stallone. Especially
he doesn't have
this.
To be, Mike. He is. What's his face?
But he wants to be.
He's
he
Jason
wants to be
Bourne.
Jordan.
He doesn't need to be. He's Jason Bourne. Jason Bourne. I think Matt Damon is just fine being Jason Bourne.
But
he doesn't need
LeBron.
To be Rambo.
Hold on, Mike. Are you mad that they're Mike? Are you mad that they're making another Space Jam? Or are you mad that LeBron is doing the Space Jam?
No. First of all, I swear I'm not mad. When I heard about it, I thought at first it was a meme. I thought it was a joke a couple of years ago. No. I actually think it's going to be funny. It's going to kind of support everything we've always thought, which is, you know, LeBron's just kind of silly.
It's a kids movie. You guys are a bunch of 40-year-old dudes yelling about a kids movie.
I'm 54.
Matt Damon, Rocky. Okay, that's what I'm saying.
There are millions of movies that you can remake.
Exactly.
But which movie does he choose to remake when he dives into acting?
Did he choose to remake
Michael
it? Or
Jordan
did,
movie.
Or did they ask him to do it? Because think of, if they remade Space Jam today, which they're doing, who do you put in it? There's no bigger
Michael B. Jordan.
No, okay. There's no bigger basketball star on the planet than LeBron James.
Tom, do you kind of agree, though, a little?
Not at all, Mike.
You don't see any of my analogy?
No, I mean, like, listen, Tom, I think, Mike, I
Waddle,
think, I, Mike, I think you're trying to connect dots to make yourself feel better, which is fine.
I'm glad he's doing it. I would have paid
to have him do it because it's going to blow up. It's going to be like sitting on a fart cushion.
I love a good fart cushion. Like, there's nothing better than a good fart
cushion.
It's going
to be it's going to be a pie in the face.
Mike, you're exposing yourself as a LeBron hater by saying that.
No, not a hater. Just not a big fan. But no, I don't hate players. I don't hate players. By the way,
hate's a strong word. How about strongly dislike? You're just afraid.
I agree with Sylvie on this.
Mike, admit, there's a small part of you internally. You're going to tell me he'll never, ever, ever get there, so that's not part. There's a small part of you that is concerned that at some point the masses are going to consider LeBron as the greatest of all time, and that chaps your saddle region so bad.
The dumb
masses. That's a good question. You know, we had this with the Walter Payton thing, and obviously you're a Cincinnatian, of course, so you're also Chicagoan. And I think that the Walter Payton thing, it was amazing the amount of stuff that he had to deal with, you know, had to overcome to be as great a running back. And there's some of that in the fact that it's true that Michael Jordan had to do all that without going city to city, joining up, you know, in different cities and teams. So there's more of that aspect that I look at, which is I don't think LeBron's legacy will ever, when the smoke clears and the clickbait stops and the recency bias, he'll be considered someone who had one or two legitimate titles and the rest were kind of the join up titles. So I'm not worried about
it. Now you're exposing yourself. Listen, Here's how I feel. Michael's the greatest of all time and will always be the greatest of all time throughout my life. I don't care that LeBron is actually doing Space Jam 2 and it's a second, you know, it's a different topic.
That's how we're different.
That's how a mature adult would act.
Well, it's like Oasis. Here's another analogy for you, Mike. It's like when Oasis was compared to the Beatles when they first came out. Yeah. Like, and what if Oasis, and then they would dive into music, and then they go, you know what we're doing? We're going to do Hey Jude.
Oasis never came out and called itself the GOAT. They never said, we're the next Beatles. We're better than the Beatles. And that's why this is going to be so funny, Tom. Because,
Oasis was never even in the same zip code as the Beatles.
Tom, what if they said, though, as LeBron has tried to do, I am the greatest, okay? Which is, he's entitled to say that. Then it opens him up to that criticism, and it's the funniest thing that he would choose to do this. That's why I came up with the Damon trying to say I'm better than Stallone. I'm going to be Rocky. Just kind of silly.
And I would say to Matt Damon, there's no one that's close to Rocky.
But see, Damon never did that because he's not delusional. And I think LeBron, it's kind of a weird thing. But this is a great discussion. Thank Abdallah because he encouraged me to stay on the line.
All right, good, Mike. Thank you.
Sylvie, I'm glad you're healthy. Thank God.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Okay, like you guys, meatball or legitimate? I'm still voting meatball. Thought.
No, it's so meatball. Like
meatball. That's two meatballs. Is that a third meatball? Or are you cool with Sylvie's meatball thought?
Were y'all mad when they made Major League 2 and they PG-13'd it up to try to make kids go see it?
Give me a third meatball, and my question is...
Three meatballs! That's a new review system.
Instead of Bill Murray in this Space Jam, is it Nick Wright? Is he in the Space Jam with LeBron? Is that how this works?
But at least I'm aware enough to say...
That you're a meatball.
Like, I opened up that segment on Friday by telling you, I am going to give you a reason for you guys to hammer us. I am not proud that I'm saying this, but I have to say this, and that was my Space Jam thought on Friday.
Okay.
Like, Mike is in denial.
Mike is he's trying to defend himself. You're not.
I'm in full meat. I'm like, dude, I'm a meatball. Like, this is a meathead take right here.
I do think it's funny that people are trying to pull their acting and equate that to the conversation of who's the best basketball player ever. See what I'm saying? Like, neither of them are actors.
No, I know it. So it's different.
And
like,
LeBron's already been in movies. Well,
the comp with Sylvester Stallone and Matt Damon is they're actors doing acting things.
Yeah,
this
right.
wasn't a basketball. I know what you're saying. They went into something different. But still, this is always going to be the number one meatball topic, won't it? Isn't this the new should DHs be allowed or should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? Isn't the LeBron
should
Michael
they make a Space Jam too?
The LeBron Michael debate? Isn't this the you turn on the frequency and you want to get full funds? You just bring up LeBron versus Michael.
Well, we only had one meatball call, so maybe that's kind of died out. You and Mike are the only meatballs.
Well, but it wasn't about basketball. It was about
sports. That's true. Did you see the Braves and Phillies game last night and the review?
Yes. I want to bring this up later, too.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Also, Hideki Matsuyama. Boy, I always miss.
Third time,
always,
let's go.
Hideki Matsuyama.
No, four.
I can't say his name.
Come on.
Hideki Matsuyama.
No, five.
Say it for me. Hideki
Matsuyama.
Matsuyama.
Right? Did I get it right? Did I get it right in the first take?
I haven't been able to pronounce his name in 10 years.
He's so silly. I've never had problems with his name.
Became the first Japanese player to win a major. A male player, I believe, the week before a female Japanese player won a major, but it was a tremendous honor for him and an accomplishment. I enjoyed the Masters. I don't think that it was as exciting as some people.
No, it was boring.
Maybe are used to, but
unless you love golf and you love it, golf. Then they're fine. Yeah. But I have a take on Matsuyama in the airport.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Why do you want to?
I can't pronounce his name. It's like something I can't do. Like
he
I
mean, was. Did you see the picture of him carrying his green jacket through the? Wear it, dude. If you're gonna expose it and not put it in a carry-on bag,
you're telling him how to be a Masters champ.
Yes, he should have. If you're going to have that thing exposed to begin with, wear it. Wear it. And
Matsuyama.
Want it.
Matsuyama. Say it, Abdallah. Hideki
Matsuyama.
Matsuyama. I can't say it.
Matsuyama.
Next story.
Matsuyama.
Next
Did I get
story.
It? I'm try. Listen, can I try and perfect the pronunciation of his name? Shut up. Evander Holyfield, 58, is going to get back in the ring.
Did you do that on purpose?
Holyfield.
Did you do that on purpose?
Holyfield.
What did I say?
Are you that funny? That just came right off.
No, I didn't. I didn't do that.
That was well played.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was good job.
I didn't do it intentionally. Evander Holyfield, 58, to return to the ring in June.
Which is ridiculous. I can't believe it.
Are you going to pay for that?
No. Hell no. He needs money. He's on the undercard. I heard them talk about it.
He's on the undercard.
He only has $1 million cap in Hoodie said. He had at one time $200 million.
He made hundreds of millions. All right. When we come back, I will not try to pronounce the Masters champion's name ever again. But I will bring you some nonsense in something we call Florida, Ohio. This hour is brought to you by Xfinity. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity X5.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I believe I forgot to tell you before the break that the report out of Boston is that Julian Edelman is going to retire.
Right. Like, wasn't it originally people saw him on the waiver wire, but it's a formality of him retiring. Like, people thought they were just cutting him. So he's
not surprised.
His body is just taking all. Yeah. It's just taking all.
He played on one leg last year, I think, for a certain period of time.
What a good player, though.
He was great. He was great. No doubt. And listen, all of our baseball conversation today has taken all of our minds away from what the Bears are doing up at Halas Hall.
Oh, no, it
just
hasn't.
Just a few short weeks away from the draft.
Has Anthony Miller been traded yet?
I don't believe so. You ask us that every time we're on the air. I don't believe
Well,
no.
I keep waiting for a way. Is Akeem Hicks still a Bear?
He is, as far as I know.
Jimmy Graham still a Bear?
I believe so.
I'm trying to take a roll call. Who's going to stay on this team and who's not? When are they going to do more stuff?
I know Andy Dalton's on the team.
I know. That's.
How about this? Man United, and I guess they were playing Grenada. Is that correct? Was this a friendly?
Grenada. No, it was Europa League.
Okay. Streaker, who ran onto the pitch during Grenada, however you want to pronounce it.
I think it's Grenada.
I thought
it
was, too.
Tomato, potato.
Didn't I say Grenada?
You did. Yeah.
You said Grenada.
Okay. Grenada.
No, he said Grenada.
Grenada?
All right.
Matsuyama.
Nope.
Damn. I was practicing at the break.
I don't think the A sound is anywhere but
this specific location, like Grenada.
Right.
Grenada. We're in Chicago.
Hey, you guys, we're going to, it's Man U against Grenada. It's on the pitch, okay? Don't worry about it.
No, it's not Urlacher. It's Urlacher.
It's Gonzaga.
It's not Gonzaga.
It's Gonzaga.
No, it's not. It's Gonzaga.
It's Gonzaga.
Well, it's Gonzaga.
Where I'm from, it's Urlacher, and that's how fine. We like it.
Okay, Trubisky. I'm just telling you, Grenada.
It's Grenada, Man U, Grenada on the pitch. There was a streaker. It was crazy.
Onto the pitch during the game. How about this? The streaker actually committed to the cause, sneaking into the stadium 14 hours before kickoff and hiding under canvas to evade security. 14 hours before the game actually took place, he snuck in and was hiding out so that he could streak.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's dedication. I mean,
he ran onto the pitch in the 10th minute, throwing himself to the floor and rolling around before being escorted away by police. He made it onto the pitch from underneath a large canvas where he was hiding.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for those 14 hours? You just go to sleep, right?
And you're naked, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Those noises?
He was streaking. Was he clothed while he was?
No, he was naked.
So he was naked the whole time.
How do you know?
Because I saw the picture of it when he was coming off the pitch.
Yeah, but he could have had clothing when he snuck in, took all the clothing off before he
started streaking.
I find it hard to believe that he snuck into the building and got under the canvas.
To me, 14 hours is a long time. How do you burn off the 14 hours? I think you
have your phone, though? Yeah, sure. Your phone, though?
Yeah, right.
What do you mean? Are you checking Twitter to see, you know,
Cubs, you stream some
Cubs
shows?
Have traded anybody?
You watch Ted Lasso on Apple TV, which, by the way, I did get through before vacation. Remember,
It's delightful.
It's amazing.
It's a delightful show. It's the best way to describe it.
It's amazing, and they didn't take the low-hanging fruit.
5 stars.
And it's a thoughtful show. Love it.
I hope Braxton's listening to this story right now. Stillwater police say a 10-year-old took a van to get some Cheerios while his parents were sleeping.
It's very funny for you to joke about. Braxton came home. I already got the report. I would normally hear it. Instead, I'm just now hearing about it, which is good. That he came off the bus, the school bus today, Braxton did, without his shoes, without his socks, and without his mask.
And your point is what?
It's another day in paradise.
It's another day. Point. It's a day that ends in a Y.
Were the shoes on the bus? Or?
Yes, I think
he got on the bus.
They were great kicks. He sold them to $100 to Jimmy up the street.
Yeah, why not?
He doesn't.
He was playing the Abdallah sneaker game.
Put him on StockX.
Yeah. That's what he was doing. He's a brilliant kid. You just don't, you're not following along.
Yeah,
yes,
but
of course.
Been asked.
All right, you want to play a game?
Yes.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation.
Wow.
Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbing.
I just ate a chicken sandwich.
Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Bum, bum.
Florida or Ohio is brought to you by Manscaped, the leaders in male grooming from head to toe in Florida, Ohio, and across the globe.
Hey, Adam, welcome to Chicago, finally.
A naked man was hip thrusting a tree before punching a cap in the face.
A cap in the face or a cop in the face?
You heard me right, a cap. It was a cap.
Capper.
A cap.
A capper.
A man is accused of wandering around, pounding on doors. And
obviously a tree, too.
And thrust in a tree. On Tuesday,
police arrived on the scene. Still too cold to be thrusting against trees.
The guy clocked the cop.
Yeah, I think this is
clocked, right?
He clocked him right in the face. They arrested him, this guy. They took him to jail. Where was it? Florida or Ohio?
This is a tree thrusting is Florida.
It is a palm tree. Yes.
It's not as big of a trunk as like some of the trees in Cleveland.
Okay. It sounds like a personal problem there. Promo code ESPN.
I'm going to go Jacksonville. This is Jacksonville behavior.
This guy was out here punching a cap and thrusting.
You broke.
In Lehigh Acres, Florida.
Yeah, all right. Of course he was.
Lehigh Acres.
Of course he was. You don't hump trees in Ohio. Come on, get out of here with that.
This guy.
I'm going to let you pick here, Waddle, coming up next, as we're both back in the First Midwest Bank studio. Oh. Do you want Bad Bulls Weekend, or do you want Major League Baseball problems with replay? That's coming up in 2 short minutes.